number's down this morning. Several people aren't here, so we need to look around and see who's not here and see if there's anything we can do to assist them, or maybe they're traveling, so we need to check on all of them. This morning, I'm going to talk on a subject which I know thousands of preachers would disagree with me, and millions of people would disagree with what I'm going to say this morning. And so, because let's face it, they have problems. They don't believe in the entire Word of God. But what does baptism have to do with salvation? That's the common question that needs a valid answer. See, when the Bible talks about baptism, it almost always talks about it in connection with forgiveness, salvation, and the washing away of sins. And this confuses many people because the Bible clearly teaches that man is saved by grace through faith. And we'll read Ephesians 2 and verse 8 in a little while. So what, if anything, does baptism have to do with salvation? And you'll find most people have a problem with this. Anytime we preach that baptism is essential to salvation, they have a problem with it. Well, we're going to find out why. So we're going to see what the Bible really teaches, and then you can make your choice. Am I teaching something that needs to be disagreed with, or is it something that we can agree with? Let's see what the Bible says. See, we've heard this expression, the outward sign of an inward grace. And this is one of the phrases they come up with. And of course, whenever somebody doesn't like what the scriptures say, they're going to come up with an argument, they're going to come up a reason as to why we don't have to do it. I mean, it's just that simple. Anybody who wants to do anything that's contrary to God's word is going to find some way to justify it in their own mind. So, in the denominations, most of them make this claim. Baptism is nothing more than an outward sign of an inward grace. In other words, you've already been saved, so you're just going through baptism simply because Jesus said, be baptized. All right, the suggestion is offered to discount what baptism actually does for us and what it does for you. In fact, they teach you can be saved without baptism. And that's where it gets down to it. When they say baptism's not essential, they essentially teach you can be saved without baptism. And of course, what does the Bible say about that? Well, they promote the faith-only concept of salvation. But the problem is, they start screaming faith only, but they don't even believe that. When you talk about faith only, that means you eliminate everything else. Is God necessary for salvation? Is Christ necessary for salvation? Is the Word of God necessary for salvation? Yeah, there's a lot of things necessary for salvation. So when you say faith only, that discounts all those others. And those who teach faith only, they discount about half of the New Testament. So they basically say half the New Testament we don't have to pay attention to. So if you can eliminate just one passage out of God's Word, you might as well throw it all away. Because it's no good. Alright. Baptism is not something we do in addition to having faith in Christ. No, it really isn't. Baptism is an expression of faith in Christ. So this is what they say. It's just an expression of faith. I have faith in Christ, I'm saved, so I'm going to be baptized to show the world that I'm saved. That's what they're saying. But 1 Peter 3:21, talking about, you know, it just talked about Noah being saved from the water. The waters came down from above, the waters came down from below. Noah was saved. Why? Because he constructed the ark like he was commanded to do. Noah obeyed God. Hebrews tells by faith Noah built this ark. Why did he have to build this ark? Because God said something was going to happen. God told him to build the ark, so he built the ark. So, in corresponding to that, baptism now saves you. Not the removal of dirt from the flesh, but an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is how we call on the name of the Lord, and we'll mention that in a little bit. Peter talked about Noah. They received the salvation through the water, below and above. And if it hadn't been for the ark, would they have lived? No, they would not have lived. If it hadn't been for the fact that Noah built the ark according to the instructions. God gave instructions how to build the ark. He says you make it 300 cubits long, 40 cubits wide, and 50 cubits high, or reverse that. And you make it with three levels. You pitch it inside and outside with pitch. You have rooms. You have one door and one window. I mean, that was it. But Noah built it accordingly, as God had given him instruction. And he survived. All right, it was their obedience that saved them, not just their faith. And so when we talk about faith, we have to kind of break that down too. What does faith mean? Some people and those who teach the faith only just simply says, put in your mind that you believe Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and you're saved. Just like that. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to go to church. You don't ever have to read your Bible. You don't have to do anything God tells you to do. As long as you believe in your mind that Christ is the Son of God, you're saved. That's what they teach. But that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches a different method, a different pattern. See, in fact, baptism is the biblical way for a lost person to express faith in Christ in order to be saved by God's grace. And so it all plays in there. Yes, we're still saved by the grace of God. No question about it. Acts 22:16, Paul was told him, why do you wait? Arise and be baptized and wash your sins away, calling on the name of the Lord. All right, now here's what we have the situation. And so this is what it means, calling on the name of the Lord. Many of the denominations teach that just calling out his name will save you. And that's true. All you have to do is say the name of Jesus and you're saved. I mean, you can be a drunk on the street and somebody pass you up, nearly crush your toe, and you holler out, Jesus, what are you doing? Now, you know full well, he's not calling on the name of the Lord. He's expressing something that, really, I shouldn't even have said it that way. But they call out his name, Jesus. I've heard of people laying on their deathbed saying, Jesus. Knowing full well, they're not talking about calling on the name of the Lord. They're using it as a curse word, as an expression, and stuff like that. And some of the people I talked to, they were talking about it. Oh, hallelujah, he's saved now. He's going to heaven because he called the name of Jesus. All right, in faith. This is how we call out to the Lord in faith. It's through our baptism. This is what we're saying to God. I want nothing more to do with a life of sin. How many of those people who just call out the name of Jesus make this declaration? They don't. They're going to continue on whatever they're doing, however they're doing it. They have no intention of changing their life. Or saying, I want to live anew as your humble servant. They don't care about being an humble servant. They just say the name of Jesus because someone said, all you have to do is say his name and you'll be saved. Well, it doesn't work that way. When we come to God in baptism, here's what we are declaring. Lord, I'm ready to change my life for you. I'm ready to put away the sin out of my life. I want to focus my life on serving you. I want to be your servant. I want you to wash me so I will be clean. Because man cannot cleanse himself or herself of his sins. It's impossible. Man cannot do that. Only God can do that. See, none of what the New Testament teaches about baptism contradicts what is said in passages like Ephesians 2:8. Ephesians 2:8 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. Not of your own doing, it is the gift of God. That's a true statement, but people misapply it. They don't really understand what grace is all about. What the Bible says is in perfect harmony with what it says about grace and faith. We are baptized because we have faith that God really does save sinners by his grace. And why? Because he taught us that. People who argue otherwise do not understand the grace of God. The grace of God comes in two parts. God does his part. man has his part to fulfill. And you can't do it one without the other. So what does sin do? We know what sin does. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. Behold, the Lord's hand is not so short that it cannot save, neither is his ear so dull that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. Sin separates us from God. So how do we get back in a good relationship with God? We got to have our sins washed away. Sins taken away. But you see, those that teach the false doctrine proclaim a sinner has a relationship with God. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. 1 John 1:5. And so, God cannot fellowship sin. God will not fellowship sin. This is totally opposite of what the Bible teaches. So let's see what baptism does. Baptism is for the forgiveness of sins. Acts 2:38, that's what Peter said. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Baptism, the moment when sins are washed away. As we already read, why tarriest thou? Rise and be baptized and wash away your sins. That's how sins are removed, is through baptism. There's no other way. Now, this baptism represents the blood of Jesus Christ. And baptism is the act of putting on Jesus Christ. As we read in Galatians 3:27, ye who have been baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. That's how we accept Christ. That's how we receive Christ, is through baptism. Baptism symbolically unites us with Christ. Our old self is buried, and we were raised to walk in newness of life. As Christ was died and was buried, so we too die, and we arise to walk in newness of life. And baptism saves us because it is an appeal for a clean conscience. As we read in our scripture reading from 1 Peter 3:21. See, baptism washes away our sins and makes us a new creature. Titus 3:5 talks about the washing of regeneration that brings us into a new existence. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. We have to be in Christ. There's only one way in which we can get in Christ, and that is through baptism. Baptism puts us into a relationship with Christ. Galatians 3:27, we clothe ourselves with Christ. Our old self of worldly existence is put to death in a symbolic fashion, of course, but we put on a new life in baptism. That's what happens when we're baptized. The old person of sin and death is taken out, and it's replaced by the new person, the new life, the one who wants to walk in newness of life. And there's many more things that baptism does according to the scripture. Baptism puts us into the church. God adds us into the church as we are saved. And we read that in Acts 2:47. So, there's several things that baptism does. It connects us with God. It puts us into a relationship with God. And the list can go on. Now, here's what some people say. We're not saved by works. And that is true. We're not saved by works. But let's see what this argument involves. The argument is that some may say, but if you believe, you must be baptized in order to be saved. Aren't you teaching salvation by works? Doesn't Paul say we are not saved by works? Well, we read that. We're saved by grace through faith, not as a result of works that anyone can boast. The New Testament absolutely teaches we are not saved by works. But many people in the first century taught that in order to be saved, you had to keep the law of Moses. So here's why the passage comes up, we're not saved by works. They were teaching a salvation by works of the law. Let's see what the scripture says. They didn't have faith in God's willingness to save by grace. See, the book of Romans and Galatians were written to combat this false teaching. Notice this. We know that a person is not justified by works of the law. Now, when we say works of the law, what law is he talking about? The law of Moses. That's what law he's talking about. The whole context of Romans and Galatians, when he talks about law, he's talking about the law of Moses, the first covenant given through the promise to Abraham. All right, they're not justified by the old covenant law that was given to the Jews, and only to the Jews. Man, person not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we also have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law, because by works of the law, no one will be justified. Galatians 2 and verse 16. And that's true. Paul also explained in the book of Ephesians that we are not saved by any of our good works. We cannot save ourselves by being good people and doing good deeds. Even though we're commanded to do that, that's not what brings about our salvation. If we could, then we would be able to boast that we had saved ourselves rather than praising God for saving us. And you can just imagine, if it was possible, you could be a good person and save yourself, what do you need God for? I mean, just an obvious answer there is, well, you wouldn't. Well, that's not our case, is it? But for by grace you have been saved through faith, not of your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works that no one may boast. All right, we need to continue looking at this. All right, we can only be saved by trusting in Jesus' power and willingness to save by grace. That is a true statement. That's the only way we can be saved. This faith is expressed by repenting of our sins and being baptized. That's what we're supposed to do. I mean, when the people hollered out, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Jesus responded and said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ." So that's what we're supposed to do. Yes, God has given us something to do. And that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to follow the example of Jesus, right? What did Jesus do? He came to do what his Father commanded him to do. So Jesus did it, and he wants us to do the same. Jesus said, "Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned." And then, of course, people turn this around. Well, you don't need baptism to be saved. All you have to do is believe. I mean, that's not what we read. There's a lot of passages in the New Testament which talks about the necessity of baptism that affects our salvation. So in order to teach the false doctrine of faith only, you've got to ignore a lot of the Bible. See, baptism is the biblical way for a lost person to express belief in Jesus. If you believe that you're in sin, you need those sins washed away, because you're not right in the sight of God. You are lost. And until you have your sins washed away, you cannot have a relationship with God. You cannot be in a condition called salvation either. You cannot have hope. Until they do so, they remain condemned until they are baptized. And you can go through the steps. You can hear, believe, repent, confess, and what's next? Oh, yeah, that's right. Baptism. That's what's next. Now, some people are going to argue, well, if you have the intent to be baptized, and let's say a tree falls on you and kills you while on your way to the baptistry, you're still going to heaven. I mean, they're going to argue that. And the only reason they're arguing that is because they say baptism's not essential. I beg to differ. Now, here's another argument that the denominations make. Baptized because you are saved. Well, let's notice this. Just about every denomination teaches this approach. Every denomination. People in the denominations, they use this argument all the time. And very few, if any, denominations teach the biblical purpose of baptism. At least today, very few of them do. Now, many years ago, there were some groups that actually did teach baptism was for the remission of sins, and in order to be saved, you had to be baptized. But they have since changed that, like they've changed a lot of their other teaching. And they do it at the whims of mankind, listening to the polls. What do people think about this? You remember what they used to say about certain sins? They said, oh no, we can't do that. Now guess what? It's okay. See, those baptized in denominations, they were taught wrongly. They were not taught the truth. So I still say, how can you be taught wrong and still be baptized right? I don't think it's possible. See, and it's very weak to suggest you feel in your heart you were baptized right. I think that's very weak. I mean, we got to know. Such feeling is not supported by the scriptures either. How many people do you talk to? You try and teach them about the church. Oh, I know I'm saved. I just know in my heart I'm saved. And yet they don't show any example that they're faithful to God whatsoever. I mean, there's a problem there. And it needs to be pointed out. See, many argue this teaching because they deny the biblical teaching on baptism. Well, they have to deny it because that's what their faith basically teaches. Faith only. You don't need baptism. They've been told this their whole life, and so they're going to argue this way. They say they were saved first and later were baptized because they were saved. But what does it take to be saved nowadays? They believe baptism is to show people they've already been saved. So that's why we do that. Do we have any examples of that in the scriptures? Absolutely not. I mean, we have no one rejoicing in Jesus Christ until after they've been baptized. Read all the acts of conversions, all 8 of them in the book of Acts. Not one person rejoiced until after they had been baptized. This is simply not the biblical teaching on baptism. See, occasionally the argument is made about the Greek word ice. You know, we've heard that argument. Some of us have experienced people talking about that. It means because of. That's what it means. Not for, but because of. They want to change the words. And anytime anybody wants to teach a false doctrine, all you have to do is change the definition. And that justifies your occasion. But notice this, simply not true. The word ice occurs 1,700 times in the New Testament, and it never means because of. Except Acts 2:38 is what they're going to say. No, this is not how the Greeks understood that word. They said for the remission of sins. See, if I put a picture of Ben Franklin on the table up here, and says, whoever believes and walks up here for the picture can have it. I'm talking about a $100 bill, okay? I imagine some of you will be running up here. But still, look at it this way. The argument in question says, if you believe, you already have it. You don't need to come up here and get it. I guarantee you, that'll still be sitting on this table if that's how you feel. Because you'll never be able to receive it. And it's the same argument these people use. It's because of. No, it is not. It is for the remission of sins, not because of the remission of sins. And this logic is applied universally. In every other situation in life in this world, this logic is applied universally except when it comes to religion. There's a lot of changes. A lot of different things change when you get to the subject of religion. Because people do not want to hold to the standard given to us in the Word of God. See, consider the account of Saul of Tarsus, who later became Paul. You remember him? He was persecuting the church. The Lord appeared to him on the road to Damascus and struck him blind. Acts 9 and verse 8. I mean, that's what he did. God told him, I'm going to make you a preacher to the Gentiles. So, no one argues that Paul believed at this point. But the question is, was he saved? Some people, they're going to argue, oh yes, he was already saved by then. And that's an important question. The denomination states that today a person who believes without any obedience can be saved. That's what they're saying. Then why do we have the Bible account of Paul's conversion? Why is it there? Well, let's see what it says. We certainly don't find Paul rejoicing. No, we see for 3 days he was without sight. He neither ate nor drank. What did he do with this time? He was praying. He was praying the whole time. Then a man by the name of Ananias showed up and said to him, why do you wait? rise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name. He still had his sins. He was praying fervently. He still had his sins. And if you have your sins, you cannot be saved. He was told how to remedy that problem. Be baptized and wash away your sins. See, those in the denominational world, they don't get it. They don't want to see it. They don't want to believe it. They want to keep teaching their stuff. And so they throw out these pamphlets and you pick them up off the ground. Now, all you have to do is say the sinner's prayer and you'll be saved. That's falsehood. That is a lie. That's basically condemning people who would believe that. Here's a man who had believed in Jesus for 3 days and yet was still in his sins, in need of baptism. And now the denominational world says, just read this prayer and you'll be saved. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to change your life. If you're a prostitute, you can stay a prostitute. If you're a thief, you can stay a thief. Whatever you are, you can remain as you are and have the assurance that, yes, I'm saved. You can tell people you're saved. But that's not what the Bible says. It wasn't until Paul called on the name of the Lord by being baptized that his sins were washed away. Then he was able to enter a relationship with Christ and God. Salvation is in Christ. There's no question. And if you want to enjoy salvation, you have to be in Christ. You cannot enjoy salvation outside of Christ. And nobody can deny that. Or they shouldn't deny it. But yet they teach it all the time. How does one get into Christ? Well, the Bible tells us how one can get into Christ. Baptism is the only biblically approved method of getting into Christ. You cannot think yourself into Christ. You cannot believe yourself into Christ. You cannot confess yourself into Christ. You cannot repent yourself into Christ. The Bible tells us the only way to get into Christ is being baptized into Christ. We're baptized into Christ. We're baptized into the symbol of his death, burial, and resurrection, which is the same thing. Later on in 1 Corinthians 12, it tells we're baptized into one body. What is that one body? It is the church. What is the church? The church is his body. We cannot be a part of the church until we're baptized into Christ. Now, I'm sure all of you in this room believe that. But I guarantee you, your friends out there do not. So take this, remember this, and share this with them. Now, chances are they will reject it. They don't want any part of it. They will deny it. But you know what the Bible says. And it's upon you to share what God has told us. Think about that. We're going to offer the invitation if anyone has a need to respond. Whatever it might be, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.